You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast. On this episode, Joshua was kind enough to jump on and co-host with us. Hey, Joshua, how have you been?
I've been great. Busy, tired, the usual. Nothing's really changed on that end. Glad to be back.
I meant to ask you off air, but I guess I'll just do it on air, and then I can take it out if you want me to. How close is your wife to giving birth?
A month. Our little boy is supposed to be born on February 28th. I don't think he's going to make it because he's gigantic. So I have an offensive tackle coming pretty soon.
That's awesome, man. I can't wait for that. And we'll obviously be celebrating you along the way for that.
Thank you.
On this episode, we have Evelyn. She has some really spooky stories that I listened to on TikTok. You can find her TikTok at EXELYNN, L-Y-N-N. But yeah, she's got a story about a ghost boy, some spooky stuff happened with her sister, and then we just learned that she grew up in a haunted house. Evelyn, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm super excited to be on.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. One thing we like to find out when we have guests on is where they fall in what we call the believometer. Zero meaning ghosts are not real, and 10 ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you fall on that scale?
Definitely 10.
Yeah, based on your stories, that does not surprise me. How old were you when you had your first supernatural experience?
My first supernatural experience probably happened around 8 years old. It started happening when I first moved into what would be my childhood home for the remaining of my childhood. So I was around 8.
Okay. And was everybody in your home a believer in the paranormal, or was this stuff kind of happening around you and people didn't understand what was going on?
So unfortunately, it really only affected my sister and I. We were the ones to see everything. I'm the oldest of 4 kids. My younger brothers were oblivious or maybe just too young, and then my parents have been like scared and then just wanted to like not acknowledge it, but they would not believe us.
Yeah, that seems to be how it goes in a lot of these. It's the parents just don't understand. Yeah. We would love to hear about that haunted home if you could tell us some more about that.
We moved in, and the only thing I knew about the house was at a young age was that a priest used to live there. That was like my first knowledge of the home. And jokingly, I remember thinking, oh, what if it's filled with spirits? And it was. As I grew up, I was like, oh, that came to fruition. There was a lot of weird things that would happen, like as far as noises, sounds coming from where there was nobody at. Like you'd go open the doors or go into a certain bedroom where banging was happening, and then nothing was there. My sister and I saw weird things in our room, and overall just had a lot of different experiences that really led me to believe ghosts are real. I mean, I have a lot of stories and we'll probably dive into that soon.
Let me ask you this. Were your parents like ever religious, or were they kind of on the opposite side of that?
Growing up, they were not religious. I mean, they had like both religious backgrounds, but they weren't active while they were like parenting us. And so we actually grew up in a household where we weren't forced to go to church or anything. And they took turns teaching us what they had learned and then told us, when you're old enough, you can decide what you want to do, which I did later on. Now my mom is extremely religious and my dad's not, but it's just really interesting how that happened. And I will say, with the whole priest thing, I do say that the spirits that I grew up around and the things that I saw weren't necessarily evil. There were a couple times that it was definitely dark energy, but for the most part, the spirits were really harmless, just more annoying than anything.
It's kind of cool to hear that too. I also grew up in like haunted place. Like, my grandma just always picked a haunted house to live in, so I can relate to this specifically. I'm already just thinking ahead, like how the parallel to maybe like when the priest moved out, they were looking for some attention because he was kind of their spiritual conduit, and then he just kind of attached himself to y'all essentially, and or they attached themselves to y'all in a sense.
Yes. I definitely, like, one of the things that I always tell people is that I 100% believe that some of the spirits that lived in the home were kids because they loved to get us in trouble. So some of the small stuff that we experienced were so stupid and so minuscule that it literally was so small enough that my parents would yell at us and then ask us, like, confront us, who did this, whatever it was. And all of us would be like, why would we do that? And it was like, okay, well, no one owns up to it, so you're grounded. But I went to lunch with my dad a few weeks ago, and I was talking to him about this after the viral Ghost Boy video blew up. And he told me, he's like, you know what? Now that I'm older and I look back on it, he's like, why would you guys do some of the stuff that we accused you of? And he believes in the ghost now because he still lives in that home, and there's stuff that happens that he still recognizes. But he's just kind of like, hey, I let you live here, knock it off type stuff.
Sounds like such a dad. You're not paying rent in this house. Cut it out.
Literally.
That sounds like that the quote unquote Ghost Boy story that took place outside of that home. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's just go ahead and jump into that story, and then we'll kind of work our way around the hauntings within that home.
When I was 13 years old, my sister and I had shared a bedroom, and my twin bed was by the door. Her twin bed was by the window. We would sleep with the window open at night. We were on the second floor, so we weren't scared of anything coming in, but we would sleep with the window open at night. And one night I wake up, it's like 3 a.m. and I look over at my sister's bed, and she's sitting at the edge of her bed looking out the window, very eerie like. And I'm like, what is happening? And I whisper her name. Her name is Princess. And I'm like, Princess. And she turns around and she's like, come here. Very, very like quietly. She's like, come here. So I'm like, okay. So I get up and I go over to her bed and I sit next to her and I'm like, what are you doing? And she goes, look outside the window. And so I try to like pull down the blind to look more. She's like, no, just a little bit. So I'm like, okay. So I pull it down and I'm looking out the blinds. I don't see anything. Okay. It's just an empty street. It's 3 a.m. Like, what am I looking at? And then out of nowhere, literally just out of nowhere, comes running down the street this little boy, probably no older than like 5, honestly, maybe 4. He's running down the street and then he goes out of view. And I look at her like, what, like, was that a kid? What is happening? And then she's like, wait. Then a few moments pass, the little boy runs right across the street again, out of view. She turns to me and she says, he's been doing that for the last 10 minutes. And I'm like, what? So she was woken up because our window was open. She was woken up by like the running sound on the road, and it's not on the sidewalk, it's like in the middle of the road. This little boy is just running back and forth. So we're watching him for a couple of minutes, and then she goes, get your camera. So I have been documenting my life since forever, literally since you had to put a VHS tape in a giant recorder and like hold it on your shoulder. So I always had like little cameras around. So she said, get your camera. So I quickly grab my camera, and it's just a little point and shoot. And the whole reason that I wanted to record, some people were confused. Some people were like, why are you, where are you trying to record? I'm like, because I wanted to, one, record this so we could show our parents so that we'd be like, what is this creepy thing happening? So I stick my camera through the window blinds and he's running. He's coming into sight now. So I stick my camera through the window blinds. And right as I press record, this little boy stops immediately, like dead in his tracks. And he turns and he looks up at us and makes eye contact right in our second floor window. And right as he does that, my sister and I like fling off the bed, the blinds like make a loud noise. And we're just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And she's like, did you get that? I look at my camera and it's off. It is off. It's off and it won't turn on. She looks back out the window, boy's gone. Just disappears. Like there's no more running back and forth. Finally, a couple minutes pass, my camera turns back on. And when I go to find the playback, it's gone. There's no footage.
And did y'all ever hear of a little boy running through the middle of the night or see him again or anything?
No, and that's the thing. You know, people have said maybe it was a neighbor kid. We grew up in a very tight-knit community. I knew all my neighbors. I knew all my neighbors' kids. Wasn't him. And I thought, okay, maybe it was some rando, but like the fact that the second we clicked record and it stopped its pattern of what it had been doing by now for 15 minutes and turned immediately and looked at us, that just gave me like such chills. I was like, this is not normal. This is not normal. And I know the paranormal mess with electronics. And so they don't like to be captured.
That's the part of the story where it's like, okay, like, you know, there could be some like some type of explanation to this. He's running up and down the street. Maybe a kid is just, I skipped out my window and I'm just going to run. Like I've always wanted to do this. But it's when you stuck the camera through the blinds, it's actually the most, it's jarring. Like there's it's hard to find an explanation for that because
how would
the boy even know that you were looking at him? And how would he know that the camera was right there? And how would he know that you were recording unless like something paranormal was happening?
And you have to remember, it's 3 a.m. It's dark. And we did not turn our bedroom light on. So my sister and I are in the dark. So exactly, two floors up on a home. He's in the middle of the street. Like for it to be perfect timing of him stopping and immediately whipping his head, and just look at us like, no.
The only thing that I could think of, like the only logical thing I could think of is that phenomenon where you're in your car and you're just driving and you just happen to look over at somebody and they just happen to look over at you at the same time. And it's always, I try this out on the road all the time. And it's always so weird to me because it's just like, how would you know that I'm looking at you and you look at me at the same time? And now we make this awkward eye contact in the car.
Yeah.
But even then in the pitch black, that's a hard sell for that phenomenon. So that's
exactly,
that's wild.
Did the kid look like he was of our time? I mean, did it look appropriate?
Well, he was wearing pajamas. He was just wearing like blue striped pajamas. And then people have told me so I shared this story on TikTok, not thinking it was going to go viral. It was a Susie Stitch. I was just like, oh, crazy story. Here's my crazy story. Because my sister and I have been telling the story for like over a decade to people just randomly. And there's some people in the comments that are like, oh, you've seen Pajama Boy. He's an urban legend. And I was like, what? I had no idea about Pajama Boy. But apparently he's a Native American urban legend.
That's a new one for me, Joshua. Have you ever heard of that one?
That is a brand new one for me too. Yeah. I'm so intrigued by that though. I'm definitely going to do some research once we get off this episode. See, but
what's so funny is that I didn't do research. So like even after finding this out, I was like, I don't know if I want to know. But like if you go to the TikTok video for a while, you know how they have like a search suggestion now? For a while it was Pajama Boy Urban Legend. And I was like, what?
Oh, that's wild. So
yeah. Yeah, it's rare, I feel like, this far into the podcast that we can learn new things, but I'll take it. I'll have to go if I get brave enough. I can look into Pajama Boy. Although I don't know if I want Pajama Boy in my search history now that I think about it. Maybe I'll just have to take your word on that being an urban legend. Well, yeah, that's certainly strange. And especially talking about how you felt like there was a child spirit energy in the home. Things were kind of going awry in like a very kid spirit way. So you had that happen. That's certainly strange. Was there anything else that was as visually demanding as that, where like you saw it and it really struck you that hard?
Yes. So it has to do with my closet. And so my sister and I were in our room and we're just hanging out. It's like a late night. And all of us, and we have those closets, you know, those closets where it's a basic closet. It's like you can slide one door this way, slide one door this way, or both of them together. Okay. Mm-hmm. Basic closet. We're just chilling on our room. I'm sitting on my bed, I don't know, doing something. She's drawing. And all of a sudden from the closet door, from inside the closet, we hear like a noise, like as if something was rumbling in the closet. And we were like, we both paused and didn't say anything, and then just kind of went back to doing our thing because we got so used to that. We got so used to hearing like weird noises and then just being like, do we acknowledge it or not? And most times we chose not. So we just kind of paused, heard it, went on. But then we heard more rumbling in the closet. So I instantly yell my brother's name, my little brother's name. I'm like, Chris, get out of the closet, because he would sometimes hide in the closet to try to scare us, to try to spook us, you know, and he didn't respond. And I still hear the rumbling. So I'm just like, Chris, get out of our room. By this point, we stand up and we walk towards the closet. And right before I'm about to open the closet door, you know how these closets are on like hinges, right? Sliding hinges. Right before I'm about to open the closet door, the entire closet like, boom, like pushes out outside of its hinges, like coming towards us. And my sister and I both like jumped back. And so I'm like thinking, did he really just kick the closet? Like, did he really just kick the closet? And I'm like, Chris, and I open it up and there's nobody in there. My brother's not in there. Nothing in our closet had fallen. It's not a walk-in closet, so it's not big. It's like has a shelf, the clothes, and we had a little like table in there. Nothing fell. Nothing was out of place. But this entire closet suddenly just pushed forward towards me and unhinged itself. I don't know how you explain that.
That's a big no for me. This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box. When you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
It's a big no for me because actually thinking back on it, if I were to label something as my first paranormal experience, it was when I was 5 and it had to do with a closet and it was seeing the man in the hat. I don't know if you guys have heard of him, but yeah. It was him in the closet, bald, cried my eyes out so much that my sister sent me a TikTok like a month ago. And it was about a woman who was saying, "Have you seen this man?" And she moves out of the way and then boom, it shows the man in the hat. I instantly started crying. I didn't know he was also like a really big phenomenon.
Oh man. Well, we were going to bring the man in the hat into the Zoom, but hold on. Let me text him.
I believe.
was it like a shadow man, or did you see the actual representation of like a human form?
I saw his face. So like, not only did I see, like, I saw the silhouette of like his trench coat and the hat, but I saw the only thing that was illuminated was his face, because the only light in the room at the time at my grandmother's house was one of those weird fiber optic like lights that swayed and changed colors. And that was the only thing that illuminated his face. And it literally terrified me. That's what I will probably label as the first time I ever saw anything strange. And since then, closet door closed. I sleep with my door locked too.
I actually had a sleep paralysis episode. I've had sleep paralysis before, but I never had anything like this happen. 2 nights ago, my wife was downstairs working and I had gone to bed. I was like in that kind of twilight sleep. So creepy. And my right hand was like kind of behind the bed, like kind of like it is right now, right here.
Yeah.
I felt what I thought was her hand, like comfort my hand, like put it over top of my hand and kind of squeeze. And so okay. I was like, oh, she's in bed. That's nice. And then when I looked over, there was nobody in bed with me. And I like shot up immediately. And I just like, my heart was racing. And I was like, okay, it's sleep paralysis. Like, go back to sleep. Yeah. Everything's going to be fine. But I've never had a sensation of touch with my sleep paralysis before. It's always just been that I see a spider come down, or one other time I saw some kind of figure next to me, like shadow man type thing. But I've never been physically touched. It was weird because I have like a sense memory now from that, you know?
That's scary. Yeah.
Ooh, I do not like that.
I do not like sleep paralysis. I've experienced that before too. It's not fun.
Well, I feel like that's a pretty good transition. Not that it's exactly sleep paralysis, but the story about your sister when she was dreaming, I'd love to hear that.
My sister, and I want to preface, because I had to ask permission for her to even share that TikTok, because for her, it was absolutely terrifying. It actually like really left a mark on her for a while. Before I say this, I just want to say that, you know, when I tell these stories, tell them very whimsically, but this stuff is real and it did happen to us, and some people are jealous that it happened, and I don't think you want this stuff to happen to you because it can be very scary. So I want to say that my sister experienced a lot of paranormal stuff in the house that was more terror filled. My dad called it demonic. When I went to lunch with him, he said everything you experienced was very mysterious or strange or weird. He said a lot of things your sister experienced was very demonic, almost terror filled. So very interesting. She does not dream. And whenever she did dream growing up, she would only dream in black and white and they would only be nightmares. So that's a very specific thing. So I got used to her waking up to a nightmare and just being, she was never one to like really overreact, but you know, she would wake me up and be like, "Oh, I just had a bad nightmare." And so I was used to that. Well, this one night I'm laying in bed and I am texting this boy. It's like 1 a.m. I'm texting this boy that I go to school with, and we're talking about, ironically, the dream realm. And my sister starts to scream, out of nowhere. She just starts screaming, and it's a piercing scream that has me jumping out of my bed and turning on the lights. Like, what is happening? I go over to her bed and she's like tossing and turning with her eyes still closed, and but she's screaming, and I'm like princess, and I try to like shake her and wake her up, and she's just like shaking in bed. And so I run to my parents' room, which is right next door, and I burst through the door and I turn on the light. They're already kind of up because they heard her scream, and I'm like, come in here right now. And they go in there, and my dad is like shaking her, and she will not open her eyes, but she's still screaming. So this is like terrifying for me because I'm just standing there. It's 1 a.m. My mom's standing at the door. My dad's trying to wake her up. And finally, she wakes up. She opens her eyes, and she's in shock, obviously, because all of a sudden everyone's like staring at her, looking at her, and she's like hyperventilating. She can't breathe. So he tells her to sit up. She sits up. And she's just trying to compose herself while my parents are like, what happened? She starts to explain that she was in a nightmare and there were these guys who were trying to take her and they were beating her and just all of this really bad stuff. And then we notice the marks on her neck. She has across her neck what looks like rope burns. It looks like somebody had taken a rope and literally just burned into her skin. And because it wasn't just like a red line, it was, I could see the little rope patterns, and it was red and bruised. And this was terrifying for her, for us. And a lot of people in the comments did say it could be a sleep paralysis demon, or that this stuff does happen to people. She got the most extent of it, because we both would wake up at times with bruises on our body, scratches on our legs, strange stuff like that. She even woke up, she used to sleep with her slippers on. She even woke up one time with a burn hole, as if someone had held like fire to the bottom of her foot and burned through the bottom of her slipper. And we don't know how to explain that. So that's the story with her. And in the TikTok I shared, I even have proof of, I had the boy I was texting at 1 a.m. I sent him a text message, and I show the screenshot of the day and the time. It's like 1 something a.m. saying like what had just happened to my sister.
I do want to ask you this. Is there anything that runs in your family like that as well? Any type of sensitivity?
So I did talk to my dad about this, because it did, this whole, after it all blew up, you know, I was talking to him about, I have always felt like I've had these psychic abilities, whatever you want to call them, right? I've seen the future in my dreams multiple times. I hear the phone before it rings all the time. Like, I have to be very careful with my words because they're very powerful, and they come, like things come true. I was talking to him about it, and he was like, you know, your ancestors are Mayan, because I'm Guatemalan and I've done my DNA, and I am related to Mayan indigenous people, to a bunch of others, Aztec, some Incan. My DNA thing is all over. So I do have a lot of indigenous in me, which, you know, they practiced a lot of interesting things like that. My aunt, so my mom's sister, she actually, my mom and all her siblings experienced paranormal activities when they grew up in Los Angeles. It doesn't matter where, every apartment they moved to. So it was always interesting. This is why I always thought my mom necessarily maybe didn't not believe it, but I think she was too scared to want to give it its power. So that's why she always dismissed it, because she grew up with things that would follow them in different apartments that they lived in Los Angeles. My great grandma, she was I forgot the word, my dad told me, but she was a healer in Guatemala. She was a healer, did a lot of energy work and like herbology work too. So,
well, that leads me to one of my favorite questions. Do you believe that the hauntings that were taking place in that house was specifically connected to you and your sister, and because of you guys being there, the hauntings were taking place? Or were the hauntings based on maybe the previous history and energy of that home, and you just happened to be there and bring the spirit activity out of the house?
I honestly don't know. And a lot of the, one of the number one questions that people have asked is, have you looked up the history of your house? Other than like its basic information that I can find online, I don't know really how else to find what other history of like maybe what the land was before. So I don't know the history of the house other than a priest used to live there. When it comes to if maybe it played out more because of my sister and I think so, just because, again, there is some truth to when you do give things attention, they pop up more, right? And so like my sister and I did acknowledge things, and whether it was because we had that, we were young and we had that veil was thinner, or maybe just because we've always just paid so attention to our surroundings. My sister and I are very both self-aware, extremely self-aware. My brothers are not. And so that's why I say sometimes I feel like they were just oblivious to it. Me and my sister are, I mean, all my siblings are really smart, but my sister and I definitely have shared this very detail-oriented, being super aware of our surrounding mind. And I have a photographic memory too, which is why I can recall all of this and I'll tell all these stories as if it just happened yesterday. So I don't know if that plays a part into it, but yeah, we definitely were the ones that saw or experienced the most.
I'm so impressed by people with that photographic memories. I could not even tell you who my sixth grade teacher was. No
oh
idea.
That's wild to me.
Yeah, well, well, so you had these things happen when you were in your home, and I'm sure you had some other things happen there as well. Now that you have grown up and you've gotten a little older, has the activity stopped?
It's definitely not as much as it was growing up. So that sometimes does lead me to believe it. Maybe it is just a home thing. Even in high school and after high school and even now, there are some things that happen that my immediate reaction, if I was younger, still living in the home, would be to acknowledge it as spiritual or as ghost-like. Now that I'm older, I do kind of tend to try not to acknowledge it because I don't want to bring all that energy back because I do know that I'm very sensitive to it, which is so ironic because I'm a scaredy cat. I'm a scaredy cat. Like, I don't like scary movies. I don't go to haunted houses. And my siblings are all into that. And I'm like, why do I have this thing to be able to see and have seen some of like these scary things when I don't want it? And you know what? People actually kind of always say that that's usually the case is because, and again, a lot of people in my comments are like, I love scary things. I wish this stuff happened to me, or, you know, and it's funny because I'm like, I never wished for this stuff to happen to me.
I relate to that. I'm a big scaredy cat and got the bright idea to do this podcast. And here I am 4 years later, still dreaming about episodes after I edit them where demons are holding me down and things like that, you know?
As much as I look into stories like these and as much as I'm in these places, like, people are like, yeah, man, I like you got to stay in like a haunted place. And I'm like, honestly, if I'm going to be completely honest, if I'm going to be really, really honest with you, despite the things that I do and my, like, what I choose to do, I would rather just sleep in a normal hotel and just have a night, because it's really not as luxurious and like glamorous as people try to make it out to be. It really is kind of like putting lipstick on a pig or like polishing a turd. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, like, some of the stuff is really, truly scary and traumatizing. And you hold on to a lot of these events as you get older.
Can I just say that if I have to choose between putting lipstick on a pig or polishing a turd, I don't care how much you polish a turd, get that away from me. I will take a pig wearing lipstick any day of the week to hang out with. I also just always wanted a pet pig, so I don't understand. Anyway, no turds, please. Evelyn, we appreciate you coming and sharing your stories with us. Those are fascinating and definitely spooky. There's something about children ghosts that I think really strike people in a hard way. Maybe it's because we look at kids as being so innocent, and the idea of a deceased child running around and bringing that energy with them, or the fact that a lot of people say that, you know, maybe evil or demonic spirits like to hide in the presentation of a child to gain access, or, you know, whatever it is that they're there for. So yeah, that's terrifying. And the story about your sister, you know, that's awful. Did she ever have that happen again where she got
not to that sleep? Extent. Okay. We would still wake up, you know, with scratches and bruises. And I will say, like I said, my dad still lives in the house today, and he still wakes up sometimes to like all the cupboards and kitchen door drawers open.
Well, on that note, can you tell our audience where they can go and check out all your TikTok videos? You have a lot of great content on there. You talk about more than just the paranormal. I would, as you classify yourself, as a storyteller. So if our audience has enjoyed hearing you on here and they want to find out more, where can they do that?
Yeah, you could find my TikTok. It is Excellen, Excellynn. My name is Evelyn. And pretty much once you find that TikTok, the link in bio, you can find me everywhere else across all social media.
And Joshua, if they want to check out your OnlyFans,
it'll be JD6969 with a smiley face. No, I'm just kidding. but you can find me at Joshua Darren everywhere. That's Dairen. We got some coffee coming out the coffee shop now. So, like, look for that online link. And yeah, some merch is coming soon from there too. So help me be less tired by supporting my coffee shop.
And they want to go to your coffee shop? Where can they do that?
You can go to Opelika, Alabama, the downtown historic district. We are 122 South 8th Street in Opelika. Come see me. I'm always there. Like, always there. Come find me. We sell really good coffee, and you can get all the stories in person. Also, hello, Sam.
And for people wondering where that is near Auburn University. So if you find yourself near Auburn, you can find Joshua at his coffee shop. As we make our rounds doing plugs, I will be at the Oregon Ghost Conference in March. I believe it's OregonGhostConference.com, and check that out. I'm going to be teaching a class on how to start a successful paranormal podcast. It also looks like I'm going to be doing a live podcast there as well. So I'd love to see some of you guys in person. So if you're in Oregon or near that area, please come check it out. So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm Joshua Darren.
And I'm Evelyn Salazar.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.